I'm Red Beard, and we're here with the members of Creed. So we have Brian Marshall, Scott Stapp, Mark Tremonti, and Scott Phillips with us. It's good to see you guys once again, and I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to do this. I got to tell you a little story. I went to my Walmart, I call it, the Walmart store in Canton, Texas, and right by the Garth Brooks display and right across from the Christian music display, which is rather large in that part of Texas, I went over and I thought, wow, these guys have really made it. You know you've made it when you've got your own, you know those dividers that show where all of your albums are?
Yep. Yeah. We got our own divider.
You've got your own Creed divider.
You're next to Garth. That's pretty good.
Pretty cool. You were like between Garth and Mariah Carey, and I mean, then Creed's right next, man.
When we get our action figure line out.
That's a great idea.
That's when we've really made it.
That's when you know. Huge. That's when you know you've really made it. How many people have done like me to date? Gone in, you know, had enough money to buy their favorite CD or cassette and made the choice of my own prison to date here, you know, December, late 1998. How many people have done that?
I think we're getting close
2.5.
To 3 million, somewhere around there.
Mm.
Yeah. Close to there.
It's getting there.
Almost triple.
Somewhere in the middle of 2 and 3 million.
I know something that's been told to me that by January, you guys are going to have to make room for a whole new third platinum album in all of your wall hangings.
All right.
That's right.
The hat
trick. I don't
know
if I can do that. I've already got everything all decorated.
Exactly.
The two thing is real balanced, right?
You got to change it up. Well, you got a lot of CDs to buy. You're going to hit that mark, Redbeard. You better get on it.
Think about it, man. Yeah. The hat trick. I mean, I don't know about you, but Brian, I cannot conceive of 3 million anything. You know, 3 million blades of grass or grains of sand.
3 million women.
Well, they weren't all women that bought My Own Prison album, but a good share were.
I don't know if Brian can count to 3 million, can he?
I think I can get up there.
Just kidding, man. I love you.
It's crazy, you know. It's been, it's been out for about a year and a half now, and it's still pushing pretty good, and the Christmas season's coming up, and we're starting a little tour again, and we're going to rock tonight.
Yeah,
going to tear it up.
Definitely, we know that for a fact. Scott, do you ever catch yourself kind of saying, am I dreaming this? Are those kinds of, is this really happening to our little band from Tallahassee, Creed?
Yeah, I go through a gamut of emotions, you know, just trying to let it sink in and trying to believe it all, you know. I don't think any of us have really put it into perspective, you know. Like you said, can you imagine 3 million? You know, that's a lot of people.
That's amazing. You know, that's a choice, you know,
yeah.
An economic vote.
Yeah, we go to a football game and count how many people were there, and we're like, all right, triple, quadruple this. You
know, yeah.
More than that.
More than that.
Yeah. FSU games.
You know, like
20 times.
30 times that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can count.
But it's amazing. It's kind of scary, you know, in a sense that the kind of things that, you know, we've used in our songs to try to connect with people, that there was that many people that connected with it, you know, and it's like, what does that say about America today, you know?
Mm.
But I think what it says is there's just a lot of people that think a lot more than other people give them credit for, you know, and have a lot more on their mind and a lot more to say. And they're feeling a lot more things than you think.
I want to talk about that on a slightly different vein in just a few minutes about not underestimating your audience. Obviously, Creed hasn't. Creed's tapped into something, and you've used some interesting methods to do that. I want to talk about that a little later. I was looking over your tour itinerary, Mark Tremonti, and I noticed that before headlining, as you're going to be doing on stage at House of Blues in Orlando here in a little while, I noticed that you got to tour with some interesting packages, and the one I'm dying to know about you particularly, being the guitar player, is what was it like for Creed to tour with Van Halen. And did you get a chance to watch Eddie Van Halen or meet Eddie or talk to him about guitar?
Yeah, me and the band were all sitting in our dressing room, and in comes somebody knocking at the door, and in comes Eddie Van Halen. He's like, "Hey guys," hung out for half hour talking to us, and later on they were sound checking, and I walked up and was watching, and he invited me over to check out his rig and everything. He keeps his rig kind of off stage. He just keeps a couple cabinets on stage, but he showed me everything, and I told him I liked the guitar he had designed. He asked me what color I wanted, and gave me one of his guitars. And he was this real nice, genuine guy, and all the rest of the guys were real cool. Got to hang out with him later on. When we played with him in New York, we actually got to hang out with him at the hotel bar and sat around and talked for a couple hours.
He's got a lot of stories to tell.
He's got a few, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I need to set the record straight about something. An article was written in Metal Edge on an interview that I did, and they said that I told Van Halen to hang it up.
Ooh.
And I was misquoted throughout that article. Profanity was added, which I don't do in interviews, and a lot of things I didn't say were added. And I just want to clear it up. Eddie, if you're watching, you've had a long career. You've been misquoted thousands of times. I think what I said about you was how awesome you were to us, because you're really cool. And I just want to set the record straight, because that was bull. I read that, and I've been pretty bitter about that that interview, and I got the opportunity to set it straight. I want to do it.
Well, that's a good idea. That's straight from Creed lead singer Scott Stapp. And you know what? You know you've made it, not only when you get the divider on your CDs at Walmart, but you know you've made it when you get misquoted in rock
interviews.
The
whole article was like, take one line of what I said and then try to make a dramatic story out of it.
Wow.
Also, they said my dad gave me black eyes. I've never said that. My dad never punched me.
Genetically.
He spanked my butt. But
he may have given you dark eyes, but that's not the same as hitting you.
He didn't beat me black and blue, so you just set that straight, too.
Wow. Some article that Mark did, they said he OD'd on drugs after a show that we canceled in Sacramento, and that was...
Yeah.
So that happens a lot.
I tell you, man.
Mark died, didn't he?
Yeah, I died. Yep.
It's Mark's twin brother.
Poor kid.
Anyway, we love the press. They do a lot of good things for us. The media does a lot of good things, you know, but I think sometimes the writers get carried away and they want to try to... The thing with us is there's no big, like, crazy rock and roll story. You know, we're just four regular guys who love music, who write songs from our heart. You know, we're not out doing drugs after the shows, burning down hotel rooms. There's no, you know, beating our girlfriends or getting arrested and getting DUIs. You know, the typical rock stories, you know, and a lot of these writers, they want to add that to the Creed story because they think that that's what rock and roll is supposed to be. And what we're here to do is change the face of rock and roll, not keep it the same way. You can be in a rock band and have something to say and be respectful, be polite, you know, be a gentleman, you know, have dress nice, you know, not look like a scumbag, you know, and that's what we're trying to do. We're normal guys. We're not into that whole thing. We're just into our music. We want to rock and we want to give to our fans all we can give.
Seems to me that's quite a story.
Hey,
if they just tell the truth. Itself,
yeah, exactly.
Lord, Yes, I'm the one who, the only one who would carry on this far.
After a solid year of touring, hotel, road food, on the run, buses, deli trays, locker rooms, what was re-entry back into normal life? What was that like? Or Scott, excuse me.
For me, a lot of sitting on the couch and catching up on
chain smoking in front of the TV. That's
adding to a stereo system. Surround sound.
Did you
just, a lot of relaxation, a lot of not. Yeah, Scott and I played a lot of golf.
We play golf about every day. I think we sometimes we play 36 holes. Well, actually, have you ever done that with me?
We did a 27.
Yeah, 27 holes sometimes in a day.
We should have stopped after the first night.
Exactly.
No, you played 36 one day when we came out there after. No, it was 27. We came out there after you had played 9, then you finished another 18 with us.
Yeah, we play a lot of golf
all day.
Who's the ace? Who's the ace?
Scott's got me right now.
He's got you?
Yeah.
Scott Stapp. What's his handicap?
He's probably, I don't know, he fluctuates. I've seen him shoot a 78.
Whoa!
I've also seen him shoot like a 97.
Well,
so,
you have those days.
There's a fluctuation. But.
It's those flubber golf balls, right? Yeah.
We do a lot of different stuff, man. It's getting back to just being normal, you know, sleeping in your own bed, going to the same bar or going to the same restaurant you went to, you know, before, doing things that you like to do, you know, reading, writing. I even wanted to go back and work a shift at my old job, you know, shucking oysters, working the bar just for fun, you know, just like not for the money or anything, just to kind of get a routine of just.
Is it important for you to reconnect to that?
Yeah, definitely.
Why?
Definitely. 'Cause that's who I am. You know, I never want to refer to myself in, I believe it's the third person, you know, and when you start reading articles about yourself and sometimes you read them and it's like you're reading it about somebody else and you kind of feel disconnected, yeah. You know, from who you are. And so getting back to that normality and just being the person that you really are is really good for me. You know, it keeps me grounded and keeps me in a better state of mind.
All right, I want you to admit it now. Who hit, when they got home, went to use the phone and hit 9 to get an outside line at home?
I did that on my computer.
Mine was shut off.
When I was signing on.
Your phone was disconnected. You got home and they cut off Brian's phone.
That's what roommates will do for you.
Oh.
Yeah, but since then I've moved out and we're all out on some property right now and the band comes over and we rehearse out there.
And you bought your own phone company.
Yes.
Right.
Sprint.
He no longer uses the phone or television, only reads poetry on the hilltops.
Yeah, Brian, I went over to Brian's house, and he was doing this, like, Indian war chant around a bonfire, naked with paint all over him, and his girlfriend was, like, rubbing his nipples, and I was like, I gotta go. Later. I'm out of here.
You're fanning me.
Too odd.
I'm Redbeard, and we're going to return with more conversation with Creed. Welcome back to With Creed. I'm Redbeard. We're with members of Creed, Brian Marshall, Scott Stapp, Mark Tremonti, and Scott Phillips. I got to ask you, we're just a couple of weeks down the road from Thanksgiving, and I would like to throw out here for anybody who wants to respond. I want you to compare Thanksgiving 1996, a scant 2 years ago, with the Thanksgiving that you just got to celebrate here in 1998.
96 was fun. I like 96 better than this year, actually.
Why?
Because me and Scott's kind of like, he's kind of like one of my brothers. You know, we're all, when everybody else got to go home for the holidays, it was always me, Scott, our friend Thad, and my brothers would always have Thanksgiving together and feel sorry for ourselves.
We tried our best to cook like a turkey. Like that year, me and Thad fried a turkey.
Yeah.
Let's try frying a turkey. Really? And so we fried it like the night before.
And played NFL game
day. Yeah, we played NFL game day all day and like drank beer and just, you know, sat around depressed, you know.
That was much more fun than this year.
For you. I mean, for me, man, 96, I was playing NFL game day, eating the worst turkey in my life.
That you had fried.
But hanging out with good friends, you know.
Right.
But this year, I spent Thanksgiving with my wife and my son, you know, and
new baby.
Yeah. And then with all the success surrounding the band and you know, my mother-in-law and her four little children. And it was just, to think 2 years ago, if you would have told me that I was going to be married, my band was going to be successful like this, and that I was going to have a new baby boy, you know, 2.5, 3 weeks old at the time, I would have told you, you're full of it, you know, but
kind of like the real reason for giving thanks, you know?
Yeah, I think this was the first Thanksgiving that I really was like, gosh, I have so much to be thankful for. You know, it's like it finally sunk in. Because, you know, as a kid, you know, you're like, turkey stuffing, mashed potatoes.
Yeah,
you know,
it's about football games on TV.
Sauce.
Exactly.
Well,
it's
what you're having for dinner.
2 days off from school, that's what it was all about then.
But I was really angry on Thanksgiving about the Cowboys game.
Well,
that
listen,
really, really, really made me mad.
You know, it's just reality. It brings you down to earth. By the way, Scott's wearing his Dallas Cowboys hat, and I feel honored that he's doing that. That's for sure.
Hey, I'm a Cowboys fan.
I know you have been for a long time.
I need season tickets.
Oh, well, you're talking to the wrong guy. Seriously, for just a second though, we're now entering here on the 12th of December. We're entering the season of Hanukkah starting, Kwanzaa, Christmas. How are Creed fans answering your musical question, what's this life for? I know that you're very in touch with literally thousands of Creed fans around the country. And with this holiday season upon us, what are you picking up on feedback? I know Scott Stapp touched on it at the very beginning of this interview that maybe Creed songs had uncovered a depth of feeling and emotion in people in America that maybe we didn't know was there.
We get kind of the same response to that song as we do with My Own Prison, where people will say that they've really found a real good connection with the song, and they found something to do in their lives. They've turned their lives around. A lot of people will say that they were suicidal or doing drugs or just lots of crazy things, and they say that our music has really changed that and turned them around. Sometimes it's hard to believe, but then 3 or 4 times they say it to you. You know, it's like by the third time, you're like, wow, they're not really just pulling my chain.
I know.
It really has.
You're like, wait a minute, we're a rock band, you know? It's like, I found out they were using our CD. It's like the only rock music that they'll let these kids that are in, like, drug houses or
rehab centers. Rehab,
Creed's the only music they're allowed to listen to. And we're like, wait a minute, that's not really, like, rebellious rock and roll, but that's really not what we're about, you know? I think we accidentally hit on something. We accidentally struck a nerve, and which was, I think, what we did. You know, when we were writing these songs, it was for us, you know, and it was for us trying to give ourselves strength to make it through the day. And you know, then we went national, and the songs were all out. And I think what we accidentally did is like, I think people sometimes in Creed songs feel like they're not alone anymore. You know, it's like, wait a minute, you know, I felt the same way, and, you know, but it's not your typical about, you know, losing a girlfriend or being hungover or whatever. These are different emotions that no one talks about, that no one wants to spend time on. And you know, we accidentally hit on that. And I think that's what's real special about Creed fans is it's like there's a sense of unity, you know, I think with between us and our fans and with our fans with each other, especially the ones that are really into the lyrics, you know, and have really taken them personal, because, you know, they're it's breaking down walls, you know, it's bringing some things out in the open and sometimes letting people feel like, you know what, things aren't so bad, maybe I can make it through, you know.
Quarters in session, a verdict is in. No appeal on the docket today, just my own sin. The walls cold and pale, the cage made of steel. Screams fill the room, Lord, I drop and kneel. Silence now the sound, my breath the only motion around. Demons clutter. Shackled by my sentence, expecting no return. Here there is no penance, my skin begins to burn. So I held my head up high, I didn't make that burns inside. Don't infuse their selfish pride. All held captive out from the sun. Vision of a cross. I feel the pain that was given on a sad day of loss. A lion roars in the darkness, only he holds a key. A light to free me from my burden and grant me life eternally. Should have been there on a Sunday morning. No time for mourning, ain't got no time.
honestly now, are you the main lyricist, Scott Stapp, of Creed?
Yeah.
Okay. Honestly, when you first wrote these songs for Creed, and when Creed first performed and recorded these songs, were you writing with some nameless, faceless people in mind, or were you writing these songs for you? And are you surprised that you have such that writing the song for one actually connects with the many?
I always saw things like in a sense that I'm trying to think of the best way to explain this. When I would play basketball in my backyard as a kid, I always thought there was a bunch of people watching me, like up in the trees. Okay. Or like, you know, so I'd be like, oh, hit the 3-point shot, you know, and I was like, yes. And I'd look around, like, because I thought there was people there, but
yeah, right. That's right.
Right. But there wasn't, Brian. You know, and so when I'm writing these songs, yes, they were for me,
Reggie,
but in the back of my mind, before we even started recording, I thought that one day thousands of people were going to hear them, because it was just my mentality, you know, just like I said, you know, making that 3-point shot when you're by yourself in your backyard, imagining the crowd there, like in Pity for a Dime. I say, see the sea of people, you know, and
before you ever had seas of people to play,
seas of people to play.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And you know, when I wrote that line, I was like, one day we will, you know, but I didn't really start feeling that way until after we started recording. But, you know, the songs were written for me and for us, but they're in the back of my mind. I did always envision that they would be, you know, played and heard by millions of people.
Cool. How important to the Creed Cinderella success story is the internet for linking with your fans?
I think it's probably been extremely important.
Yeah.
In some sense, especially on our website.
Gave us an excuse to have the record company buy us four
Yeah, we
Mac
got we
Day
all got computers.
Laptops.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You could go on there and there was just hit after hit after hit on the website.
It's like 40,000 hits a week.
Chatting together,
Ooh,
you know,
man,
about
over 100,000
about the songs
Whoa.
And maybe the meanings that one person had compared to somebody else. So what's this about? What does he mean by this? And I think it stirred a lot of interest in the band. Mm. You know?
Yeah, it definitely. I've gotten on there and like once a week, and I try to talk to people. We have like a live forum, and I'll go on there and I'll say, "What's up, guys? It's Scott from Creed," and everyone's like, "Yeah, right."
I was going to say, "How did
I heard
we know?"
They broke up.
So I spend like you know, 2 hours trying to convince them that I'm me, and I'll be like, they'll be like, "All right, well, what's your wife's name?" I'll be like, "Hillary," and they're like, "Nah, it's Michelle."
They always
ask
me
about. It's like they got the wrong information.
They always ask me about Scott Phillips' tattoo. They're like, okay, how did he get that on his arm, or what kind of design is it? And I have to tell.
So that's the secret password.
Yeah, and you know, I saw that on there a few times, and I've written people back, and nobody ever responds to it. It's like, I don't know if they don't believe me, or if it's like once they write it, they never check it again to see anything. But
we do respond. I mean,
absolutely.
Same with our fan mail. I pretty much believe that probably 70% of the people that write us a letter get a handwritten letter back.
Whoa.
We spend a lot of time with fan mail.
Why? You wouldn't have to do that.
We actually formed a whole fan club department, like in our whole Creed world, where we have people full time who just work on fan mail, respond to fan mail. We get sifted through, because a lot of fan mail we get says, can you please send me a catalog for Creed merchandise? But, you know, then there's like 30 or 40% of it that's actually a written letter.
And personal.
And you know, I get those. Yeah. We have a little mailbox in our manager's office, you know, and I'll go in there and there'll be, you know, 50 letters in there that he wants me to read. And especially now that I'm home, I'm getting to catch up on a lot of those. But really, really, really appreciate our fans, you know, so everyone who hasn't gotten something back that's written a letter, you will. It just, when we're getting hundreds of thousands of letters, it just takes us time to do it.
And visit the website at creednet.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, Brian. Good point. Good point.
All right, you're done. Go home.
Are you using the website, for instance, to inform Creed fans all across America about this live broadcast tonight?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything we do is on the
homepage.
I mean... anytime we're not at home and we're doing something with Creed, you can find out on the webpage. Tour dates, interviews, soundtrack stuff. You can hear new songs that we haven't released that are on soundtracks. You can hear them first on our webpage. Live video, live interviews. You know, Scott Phillips and I are both on there discussing some things that are live via the web.
Yeah.
It's
interviews.
Really, really cool. Our website, Sid at the record company, has really done a great job on our website, and it's we're moving into year 2000. You know, computers are.
It's gonna be a meltdown, right?
They're all gonna crash.
Well, yeah, they're all gonna crash.
We're all going into blackness. So enjoy it while you can.
The dark age, they're calling.
The internet's been really cool. If you think about sort of maybe 10 or 15 years ago, when I'm a kid and I've got a favorite band. The only chance I had of finding out about this band, what they were doing on a daily basis or a weekly basis, was like picking up a Teen Beat or something to see what, you know.
He's right.
Somebody's doing.
No, he's right. He really is right.
And now you can, you know, daily, hourly, you can go on and there's updates and you can see what.
And you get the truth from our
webpage. You know, I mean, it's just amazing how much more personal you can sort of get with a band and know what they're doing at all times.
That was Scott Phillips.
Hurry for a child that makes it through, if there's any way, because the answer lies in you. Then lay to rest before they've known just what to do. The souls are lost because they could never find. What's this life for? What's this life for? What's this life for? What's this life on your plane. Don't say your last prayer, because you can never find. Don't have to settle no damn score.
Tell me about your involvement with a Doors music tribute album. Your parents probably, you know, dated the Doors songs like I did, but how did Creed get involved?
Your mom probably, you know, was with,
hey. With Jim and Three Way. Or whatever.
How'd you get involved in this project?
We were approached.
Yeah, we were approached.
Yeah.
And really, really great honor. I always known about the Doors, always liked the Doors, but didn't really get into the Doors until probably 5 or 6 years ago. Right at the beginning of my college years, when it's a requirement that you have to like the Doors.
That's right.
Zeppelin and Floyd. And
you
know,
start wearing Birkenstocks.
Great. What's that?
And you grew your hair out.
Birkenstocks.
Right. You turned into a granola.
No, I didn't.
Is what I call them.
We used to beat up those Birkenstocks.
You started the long hair.
You started
right now,
riding a mountain bike.
Yeah, all right. I did ride a mountain bike, but that was only for sport. Yeah. I was jumping things.
How many times did he ride that bike?
Four.
Four.
Trade you.
Four.
Four times.
To go buy a new remote.
Yeah, exactly. When the batteries ran out on mine, I had to ride the store to buy new ones.
What appealed to you about the Doors and getting involved in this project?
I was a very big Doors fan, and they were very inspirational to me, and not necessarily in how I approached songwriting or how I wanted my band to be, but they just inspired me to want to be in a band. You know, I looked up to them as a band. And so when we got asked to do that, I was like, man, let's do it. And it was so hard to pick a song. I mean, I think we spent like 2 months trying to
not
get
to touch the earth.
We were gonna went through a bunch of different songs.
Almost last minute that we picked the one that we did.
And what are you doing?
Riders on the Storm.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Try something.
My favorite. Exactly.
Something not defining.
We might play that tonight.
Yes, right. I think we might play that tonight.
I can hear the sound of the pause button on cassette decks all across America.
Yeah.
Writers on the store. Writers on the store. Into this house we're born. Into this worm we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone. Like you're out alone. Writers on the store.
Jam with Robbie Krieger.
Of the original Doors guitar player.
I think he's we were cool eating spaghetti or something upstairs in the studio, and he and this guy walks in. I didn't even know it was him.
He might even be here tonight.
Yeah. This cat walks in and sits down, and I'm like, okay. And then he introduced himself, and I was just blown away, and he's a really cool guy.
Yeah.
He's a really nice guy.
And he sat down and jammed with us, too. And
he's got a few
out.
Stories.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
just a few, one or two.
Yeah,
wow.
But I was trying to play the bass lick, and he's like, "Hey, I think you're playing that a little bit wrong." And he came over and he showed me the right way to play it. So,
yeah. He's like, "Hey, you moron, come on, you should have to play it right."
When are we going to get to hear Creed's version of "Riders on the Storm"? When's this coming out?
The producer said when it's done.
Oh.
We asked him when is it going to be done and out. He's like, when it's finished.
So maybe the new
all
year.
All the tracks are recorded.
He's trying to get some big names on the CD.
And I think there's a few more that are left, I think.
Really?
I think they're about half done now.
I know Days of the News on there.
Yeah.
They're doing The End.
We found out about it. God, it was like March or May that we actually found out about the project. And, you know, it was just maybe a month and a half ago that we actually recorded it.
It was really cool. What was the studio again?
It's the A&M Records right off of Sunset.
Oh, right there on the lot?
Yeah, that's got a lot of history.
Charlie Chaplin Studios, all that kind of stuff. And it's where they recorded We Are the World.
Well, there you go.
What kind of a vibe can you get recording in a room like that?
There you go.
Rage Against the Machine was recording next to us.
Yeah.
It's cool. They were rocking out.
Yeah.
Now, I also heard that Creed is going to place another rock anthem in a movie. Which song? What film?
Faculty. I'm going to put Alice Cooper, I'm 18.
Creed doing I'm 18, the Alice Cooper classic, in a movie called The Faculty?
The Faculty.
When does that come out?
It's the end of this month.
Yeah, I think.
I saw a commercial for it. So.
Yeah.
So go to the movies this holiday season and see, at least hear Creed in the soundtrack?
Yeah. It's a Robert Rodriguez film who did Desperado.
Oh, he's a Texas boy.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, and, he's a good director.
Kevin Williamson wrote it, who did Scream and Scream 2. And I Know What You Did Last Summer and all that other.
Cool.
There's a cameo Know What You Did Last Summer. What's the girl that was in Desperado?
Oh, Salma.
Yeah, Salma Hayek is also. She does a cameo. She's a nurse. And she gets in some trouble.
Maybe we'll get to meet her.
Maybe she'll get to.
Maybe she'll meet her.
You didn't get to meet her?
Maybe she'll take Scott Phillips' pulse.
Hey, there you go.
She'll do what? Ride your mountain bike?
Be a woman's bicycle seat. What?
And looking ahead to the new year, any chance that you may take Creed off the continent in 99? Mark?
Definitely, yeah. I think we're planning on the springtime to do a worldwide tour.
Wow.
So that will be exciting. I've never been overseas. I've been to Canada. That's it. Wow. That's the only other country I've been in.
Wow.
So that will be fun for all of us.
Yeah, Japan, Australia.
Oh, wow.
Europe. Is Germany included in Europe?
Yeah, Germany's
part of
Europe.
Is that the Spinal Tap?
Is it?
Yeah.
The Spinal Tap.
I heard we're huge.
We're huge in Belgium.
Yeah.
And in Tanzania. Yeah.
Tanzania.
We are huge there.
So you got that going for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Currently, we are counting down the days to a new year, and we're on the threshold of a new millennium. Will we recognize rock music a century from now? Will rock survive the next decade?
It'll always survive.
True rock will survive. Jingle rock. A lot of alternative rock that's out. I don't think it's going to be like you're gonna hear those 80s glam CDs that they're selling on TV. You know, there was a lot of good songs in that 80s
that's
glam.
That's the best music ever.
I like that 80s stuff, but I think true roots, just nuts and bolts rock will survive, and the bands that are playing it are going to be the classic rock of the next 20 years,
yeah.
You know? I mean, there will always be a void or a need for that classic rock, just straight up anthemic, just rock, you
guitars,
know?
Guitars, bass, drum, vocals, you know? For the last
I really believe that.
You know, it's kind of been there, and it seems like about every 10, somebody gets itchy and tries to come up with something else to top it, and it, I don't want to say it fails, but, you know, it always kind of ends up reverting back to where it started with just, you know, instruments and a vocalist. And hopefully it'll continue to do that through the years, at least as long as I'm in the business.
Take my hand, be my brother. The payment's signed.
take us step by step through the last 10 minutes before you go on stage. Give me the ritual. Give me the routine. Give me the creed ritual. The last 10 minutes, okay? Just before the house lights go down, just before the recorded music on the PA fades quickly, mm-hmm. just before that roar from the crowd comes up for Creed.
Let me do this real quick because I want to do this to you guys. I can do this in about 10 seconds. It's Marshall breaking wind in the back lounge, Scott pacing in the bunks of the bus back and forth warming up, Mark pounding about 3 beers, and me warming up on sticks. That's it.
Well, here, let me
go ahead.
Elaborate.
But I'm
that was the Cliff Notes version.
That exactly. was the Cliff. See, he's the Cliff Notes kind of guy.
He's a Cliff Notes kind of guy.
I went to school.
You know? And both of his parents are college teachers. See, that's the irony in the whole thing.
Hey, C equals degree. That's all I have to say.
Very good. Let him move.
All right. Well, that's right. You do have an associate's in arts degree.
That's right.
As well, I do.
There you go.
But anyway, it's like all four of us were involved in athletics at some point in our life. It's almost like you're getting pumped up for a game, and the things that you do, you know, to get yourself motivated and fired up, because our show is so high energy that I really have to get my blood flowing. I have to jump up and down. I have to sing. I walk back. I'm sweating before I even go out there. Stretching. He's stretching. He's you know, he's playing. Brian.
Nobody knows what Brian does.
You know, you're absolutely right. No one knows what Brian does.
He's making friends.
Mark.
He's making friends. He's the Creed's ambassador to the world.
He'll be hanging out with somebody out in the crowd, and then he'll be like, I got to go on stage. Who are you?
Who are you?
I know Brian does wander in the crowd before shows.
Yeah, I've been known to do that.
Him and Bono.
He's the faceless man.
Yeah, him and Bono.
Mark, he, you know, he walks around going... Come on.
Ready to go.
Like, you ready to go? He starts talking in like street slang.
That's old school.
And like, all right. Okay. He just does like the pimp thing in front of in front of the mirror, you know, slicking his hair back, you know, flexing his muscles, you know, moving each pec up and down. All right.
So Mark's got that to fall back on.
Whether he's
going to
take his shirt
right?
off or not.
If this rock star
the band that doesn't take their shirt off.
He gets up by the mirror and like gets his guitar and like does strums and makes cool faces, you know, in the mirror.
Then I beat him with it.
Mark's old school.
Like the shape.
G.
And to paraphrase My Own Prison by Creed, the court of public opinion is in session. The verdict is in. Only one thing on the docket tonight, and that's how long you're rocking.
Yeah.
All right. I'm Redbeard.
Well, I just heard the news today. Seems my life is gonna change. I close my eyes, begin to pray. Then tears of joy stream down my face.